But to start with, I have a confession. You see, I drove to work this morning. I could have caught the bus, but I drove. And perhaps this is a brave admission considering the passion of my first guest today, a Brisbane transport planner and urbanist and one of Australia's leading cycling, walking and sustainable transport specialists. Her vision is that anyone in cities, regardless of age, gender, physical abilities and cycling skills, can cycle. She was also one of the four international experts involved in the recent leg of the BMW Guggenheim Lab in Berlin, a think tank and public forum that we're going to be hearing more about. So Rachel Smith, welcome to By Design.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Good to have you on the show. Can we go back to that point about your vision that anyone can cycle? Because I know a few people who can't for various reasons. Isn't this idea taking it a bit too far?
Okay, so there are going to be a few people for various reasons who can't or don't want to ride a bike. Maybe they live in a really rural area or they have a health constraint. But basically, I'm advocating that we'll have cycleways that are completely separate from parked and moving cars. And they will be wide enough for people to pass each other. So people who are cycling slowly can be overtaken by people who have less time and need to cycle a little bit faster. And so they'll be safe enough for anyone to use, whether it's a mum cycling to school with her children who've got stabilisers on their bike, or maybe a senior who's cycling to, say, the bowls club for a bit of health and exercise, through to people going to the shops or cycling to and from work.
Okay, so basically it's about the infrastructure. If the appropriate infrastructure is in place, then everyone can ride.
Exactly. And so what happens at the moment is we build lots of what I call paint jobs, which are on-road painted bike lanes. And you have like big trucks going past you really close and cars and buses. And so people don't feel safe. And that's fine for the group that I call the bold and the fearless, the people who kind of dress up in all the sponsored Lycra and are happy to cycle on the road. But then there's people who I call enthused and confident, people like myself who like to ride bikes but on kind of separate bike lanes. And then there's the target audience, who are the people who are going to enable the states and the councils and the federal government here in Australia to meet their mode share target. And those are the group that I call the interested but concerned. And they're people who want to ride a bike, but they're not going to cycle until the infrastructure is in place and they feel it's really safe and they're completely separated from all parked and moving cars.
Okay, so these are the people that you're targeting. I like that you call them the interested and the concerned. You also have another category, which is called the no way, never going to happen.
There's also the no way, no how. And there are some people who've got their utes and stuff and they want to drive everywhere. And there's no point trying to convert people who aren't going to be converted. And I did quite a lot of work for the Transport for London in the UK when I was living and working there. And, you know, some people are in the too hard basket and it's okay to leave them there. Let's work with the people who do want to cycle and who want to improve their health, who want to save money, who want to be able to cycle to work, or for children who want to be able to cycle to and from school. We've got a huge obesity issue in Australia, so this can help solve congestion and it can help improve our health.
So you're not necessarily asking for people not to drive their cars as such, because I was a bit worried about admitting to you that I did drive to work this morning. You're trying to tell us that there are simpler ways of cycling. It can be easier.
Exactly. And it's all about having a mixture of transport options for you. So, I mean, I've been working with a luxury car company for the last year, and they're not into stopping producing cars. What they're talking about is access to cars, not ownership. So we'll have more of the community and urban-wide car sharing. And we've got great public transport here in Australia, not everywhere, but in some places we've got fantastic public transport infrastructure, which other countries would, you know, give their right arm for, with like the busways and things. And it's all about doing different things in different ways. So maybe people could carpool with a neighbour one day a week, and maybe you only have to not use your car as a one person in a car every day. Maybe you just do that thing once a week. And with the increase of things like smartphones, then maybe people will work at home one day a week. So all of these things can help to not solve, but help to reduce the number of cars on our roads.
Could you give us an example of how it's working in Brisbane, where you're living? I mean, how is the infrastructure lacking or good in your town?
Well, I've chosen to live where I live. So I live 992 metres away from where I work, and I
Precisely.
Walk to work every day. Exactly. I measured it. And I don't ride my bike because we have a state-of-the-art cycle parking centre under our building, but that's for people who live further away, so 5-10 kilometres, who cycle every day. Outside of my house, I've got a public bike share scheme. I've got the city glider bus, which goes at peak hour every 10 minutes. There's a boat service that goes into the CBD, and there's bike lanes and walking areas. So I've chosen to live there because I don't want to have to travel in the car to work every day. Mm. But I accept that some people, for various reasons, can't afford to live really close to where they work. But that's an option that I've decided to do.
And one of the ways that you are talking about enabling this kind of change is a suggestion to, in some ways, reconfigure the streets, negotiate a very different way of using space that already exists. So how would this work? I know you suggested something along the train line.
So, yeah, I've been promoting my cycling superhighways, which are 7-metre-wide bikeways, for 2 or 3 years now. And they could go along on the preserved space that we have next to rail corridors. I mean, we would have to negotiate with the rail people, or we could, say, remove some car parking. And lots of urban places around the world have just removed some car parking, not all car parking, some to provide for cycling. We could connect our areas of open space. And one of the other things that I'm trying to promote in Queensland now is that we would maybe have a floating cycling superhighway as well on our waterways. So we could make those out of plastic. And I know a fantastic company in the UK who are making bridges from recycled plastic. So maybe we could try, because it's better to try and fail. So maybe we could try to see if some of these options are viable here in Australia.
But one of the suggestions that you talk about is also that if you want something to change in your city, sometimes you can fund it yourself rather than going necessarily to government or council or things like that. So crowdsourcing funding, how would this work?
So crowdfunding has been used for lots of technology projects in the States in particular and in Europe. So someone came to me and they said, I've got a crowdfunding platform. Would you like to crowdfund a bicycle facility? And no one's ever, as far as I'm aware, crowdfunded cycle infrastructure. So maybe we shouldn't be relying on the government to pay for everything all the time. And admittedly, we pay our taxes. But if we really are passionate about our cities and where we live, then maybe we all might want to contribute. So what we're doing at AECOM at the moment is we're actively looking for opportunities to engage and expand the financial systems for procuring and financing infrastructure. So, and some of the lab team who were in New York at the BMW Guggenheim Lab, they're based in Europe, and they're crowdfunding a bridge. And so people can pay for each piece of wood to make a pedestrian bridge. So I was saying maybe we would find organisations. Yeah, fantastic. And maybe we could just say, maybe give up flat white for a week. And so the $20 that we save, we could say, I'm going to put that into the crowdfunding pot of money. But the joy of the crowdfunding is that you don't actually have to pay until the target has been met. So as an individual, you might say that you're going to donate $100 or something. But and if we don't meet the target, then you don't have to pay. So no one's really lost out. And so this is the next project that I'd like to have a go at trying. I'd like to be the person that they say, well, at least she tried, she failed, but at least she had a go, rather than sitting back.
And doing nothing. Well, yeah. On By Design, we're talking about some pretty radical ideas, I suppose, a cycling superhighway, about crowdfunding a bridge, perhaps, in your town. I'm speaking with Rachel Smith, who is a transport planner with AECOM in Brisbane, and also is one of Australia's leading cycling, walking and sustainable transport specialists. And Rachel, you're a recently part of the latest leg of the BMW Guggenheim Lab that just finished up at the end of July in Berlin. So very briefly, what exactly is the lab? What's it aiming to discover and to explore over the next 6 years?
So how I've been explaining it to people, it's like a conference. But when you go to a conference, you have to be someone who's got some experience in that field. So anyone can go to anything at the lab. Everything is completely free. When you go to a conference, you just do listening. You might take some notes and then you go home. When you go to the lab, you can do things, you can make things, you can experiment, you can discuss. And basically, it's all about having conversations about cities and urban places in the future. Really are just trying to get people to talk about where they live and where they want to live and what they want where they live to be like in the future. Because at the moment we have conversations about urban places when we have a particular project. So if a big infrastructure project is being planned and designed, then we have public consultation. But that's only about that particular project. So the lab is talking about anything and everything. So we were talking about waste and the maker movement. We were talking about age because we never really seem to involve old people in planning. We were talking about communication and participation, about e-mobility, the future of parking. No one ever talks about car parking. So we were like, we're going to try and make parking sexy.
Is parking sexy?
It can be, yes. Yeah, so we found a company in the UK. They have a great app called Park at My House. So if you live near to where there are lots of workplaces, you can rent out your car parking space, like your driveway, to someone who works. So again, it's looking at cities and where we live in different ways and using technology and using communication to talk about those things. And not just including the planners or the engineers or the architects. We're saying anyone can be an architect. So we had like the rock star architects working with 8-year-old children and 94-year-old ladies doing all kinds of making and experimenting about sustainable housing and workplaces and transport and making. So it was absolutely fantastic.
Just very quickly, I'm kind of just curious, is after doing this lab in Berlin, is the future positive? Do you see more of us getting on our bikes realistically?
I think we've got an obesity crisis on our hands. I think people are looking for ways to save money. I think people want to be part of solving the congestion problem, not just going onto online newspaper forums and complaining. So I think we can all be part of the solution rather than being part of creating the problem that we have in urban places. We had some fantastic ideas from people who aren't professional people in the urban field giving us suggestions which are things that can really change where we live.
Certainly.
And I think there's great opportunities.
It certainly is. Rachel Smith, thank you so much for joining me on By Design. Great to chat with you and to hear some of your ideas as well. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Thank you.
On By Design, Rachel Smith, transport planner with AECOM in Brisbane and, of course, one of the four experts with the recent BMW Guggenheim Lab in Berlin. It's travelling to 9 major cities worldwide over the next 6 years, all addressing issues of contemporary urban life. And as I said, there is going to be a local version happening this October in Brisbane. And a question to you, of course, what are your thoughts about this? What do you think about a cycling superhighway? Do you ride your bike? Maybe there's a reason that stops you. Perhaps the streets don't feel safe. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let us know at abc.net.au/radionational.